ladies and gentlemen, to this hour number two on the Tagman Report. We are going to be covering some news in this segment. We have Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer going to be joining us after the segment is over. So we're going to hit a number of news items here today. Houston begins to dry out as death toll reaches 22 from Harvey. Looking at some live feeds here of what's going on in Houston, the floodwaters are still creating just, you know, the storm of the century there in Houston. Thankfully, the rain is gone, but some of the dams and reservoirs have been doing controlled releases of water, and that has been leading dry areas, or areas that have been dry, to get some water, and even shelters are now taking in some water, as I believe the last count was 35,000 people are being housed in shelters across the city because they were displaced from their homes due to the floodwaters. And the death toll again continues to rise. I would say it's very low at 22 for the amount of devastation that we're seeing on the news. But again, folks, the Hurricane Harvey is still wreaking havoc as it's going over Louisiana. Now they're calling for, we're seeing flooding in southern Louisiana, and they're calling for 5 to 6 inches of rain, even in Nashville, Tennessee, in the next few days as the storm moves up into the Midwest. And that would be a really bad thing to happen, as Tennessee, especially Nashville, has had recent devastating floods just in the last few years. So we're going to keep our eye on this and continue to see where this goes. Now, Dad, I don't know what you want to get into here in this hour, but or in this segment, but folks, if you go to HagmanReport.com again, there is a number of stories up there, as well as Peter Chalka's article about Kathy Griffin and the return of Kathy Griffin coming back out into the news to take back her apology of the severed Donald Trump head, and saying that she's not only not sorry, but basically that she would do it again, and is just, you know, flip-flopping. These celebrities, I don't know how many people saw, the only reason I knew the Video Music Awards were on MTV this Sunday is because I watched a video of Mark Dice, I believe it was on Tuesday, yesterday, where he played some clips of a number of musicians like Katy Perry and others who were there, and they were talking about how they were coping with the Donald Trump presidency, what they were doing to cope with it, and how they need to continue to resist to impeach him. And it led me to another internet article I found that was on a forum that talked about, you know, the difference between conspiracy theorists and what we see with the left and their conspiracy theories. And the gentleman made the argument that, you know, the conspiracy theorists that more often than not are right in their assessment of things always are looking for the truth as their goal. When they're looking at these theories, they want to get to the truth. And then they go to point out on the left, every single conspiracy theory that the left has created has the same goal. And that goal is not the truth. That goal is the removal of Donald Trump trying to reverse the election results and get him and Pence removed. And it was kind of funny to read as the guy was making fun of, you know, these left-wing conspiracy theories that they can't even do it right. But anyway, we see...
You know, well, let me just jump in, because I think it's so important for people to understand. You know, we talk about the shadow government, and we're going to have on Friday, we're going to have...
The shadow government's coming on Friday?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. But no, on Friday, we're going to have Kevin Shipp on, and that's going to be a great show, talking about the shadow government, the deep state, and the difference between the two, and I did a show on that on my morning program. But and I was going to get into this, maybe I will tomorrow morning as well. But when you look at the writings of George Soros, I'm getting pretty doggone sick and tired of this idiot still sucking air, George Soros. All right, I'm tired of him. But you got to listen to what he's saying in his books. For example, The Age of Fallibility, The Shadow Party. By George Soros.
My Time as a Nazi.
Yeah. Well, specifically the Shadow Party. And think about this. The five, or the Soros formula, there's five steps to the Soros formula. The first one is to form a shadow government. The second one is to control the media, control the airwaves. The third is to destabilize the state. The fourth is to engineer or evoke or provoke an election crisis. And the fifth, of course, is ultimately to take power. And he describes the United States, of course, as being the main impediment to a one-world government. Having said that, if you look at the formula that he has, including former shadow government, check, we have that already built in within the infrastructure of our country. And now we have this Obama shadow government that's in operation on Embassy Row, along with Valerie Jarrett. They've got a skiff in their house. Who knows? I got a skiff. Yeah, in my house, right? Wrong kind of skiff, but I digress. Control the media, and that's what we're seeing take place right now. Control the alternative media, or the independent media, to be precise. But the other side to that, and this is what Peter Barryczaka, this to me is, and I mention him a lot because this, look, this is a big deal when you start controlling the airwaves and start controlling the narrative on, you take out Fox, for example, you take out, not Fox necessarily, but you change, you fundamentally, to borrow a phrase, change the Fox News conservatives and take out Sean Hannity, which of course is their goal. And look what they did to Beck, all right? And look how Beck changed, and it's an amazing thing to watch. We, by the way, will never, ever, ever stray from our mandate, because if we do, we're going to lose our platform, because I don't believe our mandate is of man. I believe that we were put here because we're not professional broadcasters. You can tell that. We don't claim to be. We're investigators. We've got no business being broadcasters. We're investigators just telling the truth. And the bottom line is, if we stray from that, you know, then I think we'll lose favor from our creator and who put us here. But that said, we're seeing the control of the media take place and the destabilization of the state through Cloward Piven, and but the delegitimization to evoke an election crisis, that's still pending right now. That's still going on, Joe. I mean, for crying out loud, you've got Mueller. You're still pushing that Russian narrative.
I was just reading about Mueller right now. There's a headline on Drudge, the main headline. Mueller teams up with Trump nemesis, teams up with New York Attorney General and Manafort probe. And I'm going to read part of this article. It's all garbage anyway. Special Counsel Robert Mueller's team is working with New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman on its investigation into Paul Manafort and his financial transactions, according to several people familiar with the matter, you know, some of these anonymous sources. The cooperation is the latest indication that the federal probe into Trump's former campaign chairman is intensifying and could potentially provide Mueller with additional leverage to get Manafort to cooperate in the larger investigation into Trump's campaign, as Trump does not have pardon power over state crimes. Anyway, this whole thing is garbage.
You got a stuck camera?
This whole thing's garbage. There is no evidence of any wrongdoing by Trump's campaign. There was no collusion with Russia. There never was. There was collusion between Hillary Clinton, John Podesta, and Russia, and Uranium One, and the Russian banks that Podesta worked and lobbied for. You know, aside from Trump holding the Miss Universe pageant in Moscow in 2012 before he was president, and maybe, you know, staying in Moscow on vacation or on business trips, that's about the extent of his involvement with Russia. But we have this never-ending, you know, deep state Obama, Soros, Clinton attack and Russia narrative that just won't go away. It's like Hillary Clinton. It just won't go away. And as much as people don't want to hear about it, don't want to see it, there's nothing there to see. It is just lingering. And they're going to continue, like I said before, this Russia conspiracy theory, like all other leftist conspiracy theories of this day, has one goal only, and that is to reverse the election results by removing Trump from office, which will never happen peacefully.
We have a stuck camera, hence the...
Oh, so it was you on camera the whole time I'm talking.
Yeah.
Awesome. John, way to work that camera. That's why John is the program director and Eric is the camera whiz. No, it's, you gotta learn the software and learn how to do it. And because if you don't do it right, you can screw up the sound and a whole bunch of other stuff. So good job, John. All right. Moving on here. We see a number of, as I said with Lisa Haven, a number of people calling out Antifa for being, you know, these violent thugs. The mayor of Berkeley is calling them a gang, even though he privately supports them and their efforts. And there is a rally upcoming in Berkeley of Milo Yiannopoulos, Ann Coulter, and a number of others holding a free speech event where they are asking them to stay away, even though the students that are hosting the event or putting on the event have paid $15,000 for security. And Berkeley says, you know, we have to let this go on. We can't cancel it. We can't basically get in the way of this. We have to let this go on. So they have to find out, hopefully find a way for the police to be able to control the crowd. Every time something has, a conservative speaker has tried to go into Berkeley to talk, we have the Antifa people in the streets rioting, burning stuff down, attacking innocent people. And the this trend continues. There's an article on Daily Caller: Antifa assaulted comedian who attended Berkeley protest as a popcorn vendor because he was being a capitalist and selling selling peanuts and popcorn. They said that he was a Nazi for being a capitalist and beat him up, and there's video of that on the Daily Caller. Now we also have Antifa targeting the police and urging, they have a new slogan, you know, no cops, no America at all, and I'm paraphrasing, something like that. This article I want to make sure we hit. It's your favorite person, Dad, Linda Sasour. Linda Sasour is back in the news for putting together, urging Hurricane Harvey, using Hurricane Harvey to solicit donation, not for relief efforts, but for labor groups. Linda Sasour, a Palestinian-American political activist terrorist, that's my word, took to Twitter early Tuesday to ask for donations for a Harvey Hurricane Relief Fund, but some of the organizations to receive the money are highly politicized. The primary organization spearheading the funding is the Texas Organizing Project Education Fund, a labor-affiliated group known for demonstrating against what it deems are inequalities in society. On the funding page, Sasour, linked to which she hosted by the Texas Organizing Project, it greets users at the top with the message, "Donate to Hurricane Harvey Community Relief Fund." The page lists off a number of prominent liberal organizations towards the bottom that are apparently sponsoring the relief page, including massive labor unions like the Communication Workers of America and Service Employees International Union, Faith in Texas, a group that advocates for economic and radical justice, and there's 20 other, there's among other groups that are there. At least 20% of SEIU's budget went to political endeavors, according to the Free Beacon. Anyway, Sasour is using a page soliciting money for disaster relief, instead using it to what she says is help victims of marginalized communities. Not even sure that the money is going to go to anybody in Houston. So there you go.
And that's how they do it.
Yeah, it says the fine print for the so-called relief fund makes it clear that it funds workplace organizing efforts rather than direct aid for Harvey victims.
That's right.
She should be sued.
And you've got the we talk about this, and I talk about this, the red-green axis. You've got the communists and the Muslims, and you've got the overlap between the two. And there's a symbiotic, albeit very convoluted relationship between the two, one that you wouldn't think it works, but there it is. And the common factors include the string pullers and the money, the funding that goes into both groups. Are much, you know, much of the same. Now, on the same, moving just briefly, just adjusting briefly out of Linda Sasour to, the Congress, Awan Brothers, the Awan criminal cabal. Luke Rosiak's gonna be on, Fox tonight, but, look, there's a lot of things going on with the Awan Brothers, the largest spy ring in Congress. I've written about this on HomelandSecurityUS.com. I've talked about this on my morning show. In fact, tomorrow I'm going to be talking. I don't know. I'd like to do a poll if I could. Can I do this?
Sure.
All right. How do I do a poll? I mean, I know how to do a poll, but how do I do one effectively? Do I just ask people to send in emails or what?
Maybe we can put something on the website that
well,
has
options. How about this? How about, John, you are, in the studio right now, of course, is Eric, the tech, and John. All right, John, maybe you can monitor chat. I don't know how many people are in chat. I don't have, whatever, okay. You consider the people that are in the chat some pretty loyal listeners or, okay, all right. When I say loyal, I mean well-informed, I guess, is what I... So, how many of you would like a special broadcast on what we know, or what I know, through research of the Awan infiltration of the Congress? Because, keep in mind that as a investigative agency, I signed the dotted line, I've got access to proprietary databases. So if I want to look something up, property ownership to, oh, I don't know, something very personal, I'm able to do that. We're able to do that as an investigative body. Now, having said that, is everyone on the same page with about this particular infiltration, AWAN, the Awan scandal? You know, George Webb, I would attribute him as well as Luke Rosiak and a few others to really, you know, give them the attribution for bringing this into the open. But is everyone up to speed on that? And I guess the poll would be, do you want me to do a special on that? And that I'll just leave it at that. But the thing is, the Imran Awan, as you pointed out earlier, backdoor access to the network that is still active. And when I say backdoor access, I'm talking about backdoor access to the House of Representatives. They still have access. A secret account, secondary account. How in the world is this allowed to continue? That's my question. How is the IT staffers or the IT department at Congress, are we that compromised? Andre Carson, Keith Ellison, the two Muslims in Congress. Did you see what happens? Linda Sarsour, Hurricane Harvey. And the relief efforts. Muslim Brotherhood influence. Huma Abedin, Muslim Brother influence. With Sarsour's mother, Muslim Brotherhood, directives, basically. But, Abedin, same thing, I suppose. But, Awan Brothers, the Pakistani nationals in the Congress. And, you've got probably a dozen. When it's all said and done, you've probably got a dozen of Pakistani nationals / Awan associates that are, $6 million plus over the course of a dozen years, and the complete compromise of the U.S. House. But there you go. I'm just curious. All right, go ahead, Joe.
Well, we got about 7 minutes before the break. I want to hit a piece on Hagman Report here that we talked about on our daily show yesterday. I don't think we mentioned it on this show yesterday, but it is really disturbing, and folks, bear with me. I'm trying to work my browser here. I'm having some issues. There's a first grader in, I believe it was a school in California. And this is on Fox News, folks. This is a really, really messed up story. And it is first grader sent to office for misgendering fellow student. A first grader at a California charter school was sent to the principal's office this week after she accidentally misgendered a classmate in what is being called a pronoun mishap. The incident occurred at Rockland Academy, a school roiled by controversy after a kindergarten teacher led an in-class discussion on transgenderism that included a gender reveal for a little boy who was transitioning to a little girl for kindergartners. Parents were furious because they were not informed in advance and were not given a chance to opt their 5-year-old from the classroom's transgender activity. However, school leaders informed the parents they were not allowed to opt out, and the state did not require them to notify parents. This latest incident occurred during the first week of school when a first grader came across a classmate on the playground. She called the student by his given name, apparently unaware that the boy now identified as a girl. The innocent little first grader sees a classmate, calls him by the name she knew him as last year, and the boy reports it to the teacher. Capital Resource Institute Karen England told me the little girl gets in trouble on the playground and then gets called out of the class to go to the principal's office. The California Resource Institute is a California-based public policy group that specializes in strengthening families. So here you have a first grader who, in the first week of school, sees a classmate who she knows from the previous year and calls him by his name. But because this first grader, who was a boy, is now transitioning to a girl, has a new name, the first grade girl was sent to the principal's office for calling the boy by the wrong pronoun. A first grader in an American school. The parents say that the daughter was terribly traumatized by the incident. The daughter came home from school upset and crying, saying, "Mommy, I got in trouble in school today." The girl's mother, who asked not to be identified, immediately contacted the school to find out what happened. She was told that whenever there is a pronoun mishap with this biological boy who now claims to be a girl, the school must investigate. This is a first grader. I'm going to stop.
You guys talked about this on your daily show.
Yeah, and if I'm going to be honest here, if this was me and it was my kid, I would be in jail. I would dropkick that teacher and the principal.
And
it's a first grader.
That's right. And that's what's wrong with this. Going back to what Lisa Haven said, what you said about the biblical coexistence. Let's all, you know, sing kumbaya, folks. You know, the God of the Bible is not the God of the Quran.
God of these fake Christians who just claim to be Christians but want to pervert scripture to whatever it is that they believe is right, not what the Bible says is right.
And I'm damn sick and tired of these Christians, you know, these Christian websites out there. And look, I'm a Christian, so I can say this. You know how, I can correct my child, but, you know, because I've got some standing there. I'm a Christian, so I feel I've got standing, but all they do is they're the, it's amazing to me, and I don't want to get on a rant, but it's amazing to me that we have people. Now, I was talking with Steve Quell this morning. I guess this kind of got me riled up. It's amazing to me that we've got people who will say that we are false Christians. That Joe is a false Christian. I'm a false Christian, and I'll go with imperfect, not false, but. But then, by the same token, you know, put, superimpose the face of Steve Quayle over Jesus and me over some other character. The blasphemy that takes place. The holier than thou crap that I see taking place by these nobodies who struggle for relevance. By these, but yet they're the very same people who say, well, you know, as Christians, you're just not good Christians, and as a matter of fact, you're fake Christians, and you're trying to exploit Christianity for your own personal gain, which is a bunch of crap.
I mean, that's those people's opinion. They're entitled to their opinion.
Well, they're entitled to their opinion. But it
does bother me, but at the same time, it doesn't bother me because we know that these people are going to be.
But
there.
When it costs you money and it costs you people, yeah. who believe in these idiots, they believe them, and they think, okay, well, you know, and of course you've got others who file lawsuits against you. In my view, because of meritless claims, all right. So that costs you tens of thousands of dollars to fight these meritless claims,
yeah.
All right. In my view, because they in turn are struggling for relevance because they can't peddle a BS book that contains nothing, in my view, but toilet paper. All right.
Well, the overall, you know,
it just amazes me.
Yeah,
and angers me. Can you tell?
You know, back to this misgender pronoun mishap in first grade. These parents must have more restraint than the average parent, because if it were me, I would go Rambo in that school.
And maybe that's why I'm angry too. Because that to me, a child.
Not a lot gets me riled up, but when I read that stories like that, I want to knock somebody's teeth down their throat. If I'm being honest. Real quick here in the last minute before we go to break. Exclusive email show: Obama era FCC gives special treatment to liberal groups. High-ranking officials at the Federal Communications Commission gave left-leaning groups a disproportionate amount of assistance compared to right-leaning groups in 2014, according to emails obtained by the Daily Caller News Foundation. Preferential treatment transpired during a period when the public could post comments on the FCC's forum for the net neutrality debate. And the article is on Hagman Report, but it goes on to lay numbers of examples where, at the same time, right-leaning groups and right-wing groups were not only being censored in some ways, but being attacked by the IRS, as the IRS was weaponized against the right, but the left were given breaks by the IRS and also by the FCC, as we see, you know, this. And one of the really important things that this goes on to basically touch on is that the special treatment that the liberal groups got in 2014, it's not only in 2014, just like with the Hillary Clinton emails, the FBI is still being controlled by Obama backers, just like the people in the FCC, just like the people in the EPA, just like a number of people in the White House. The deep state is still full of Obama holdovers and people who are against the American agenda, against what the people voted for in this country when they elected Donald Trump. And what they are doing, as Sebastian Gorka said in his resignation, are undermining Trump, undermining his decisions, and continuing to try to promote an agenda that is not the same Make America Great Again agenda that Donald Trump and the American people voted for. These people are not only undermining Donald Trump, but they're undermining each and every American citizen who wants to see America move in the right track. Folks, we'll be right back with Coach Dave after this break. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. There
shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric's
it's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family, MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow, it's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Caring for Us in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We are offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Remedies Kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Remedies Kit at www.changeforsomewoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Oh, and welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. We have a great segment planned for you right now. Coach Dave, CoachDaveLive.com is the website. He's coming in to talk about some of the hurricane relief efforts that he is taking up and what he has done to help. Part of the title of tonight's show is the Cajun Navy. I'm not sure. I would hope many people are familiar with what that is now. Anybody who's been paying attention to the hurricane coverage and the rescue efforts will know who the Cajun Navy is. It's a group of citizens who have mobilized in Louisiana after Katrina, as well as other flood disasters, that come together, bring supplies, bring their boats, and band together to go out and help first responders and rescue people.
And that's what America is all about.
Exactly. And at this time of unity, when we see these people coming together to help each other as the way it should be, we have this left-wing media, taking pot shots at this Cajun Navy. One man with a boat rescuing families left and right had a Confederate flag hanging on his boat, and people were, in the media were taking him to task, saying as he's rescuing African-American families, they're calling him a Nazi. Then you have Politico and other groups that are doing, Politico did a cartoon depiction, as well as Charlie Hebdo did a depiction of a number of people in Texas drowning with Nazi flags with the caption, hurricane kills Nazis in Texas. It's just disgusting what the media is doing with this division, continuing to promote the division even when America's coming together to help each other in the face of this natural disaster.
Did you hear, just give it a thumbs up when Coach is on, but did you hear all the crap that the left lying ass media, I'm sorry, I gotta clean this up.
No, let's let loose tonight. Come on. We're almost there.
I didn't say that. Lying media said about Donald Trump and about, Hillary Clinton's out there pimping her book.
Yeah, that right. Donald Trump sexually harassed her by standing too close to her in the debate.
Right.
Get away from me, creepy.
But then, she's out there pimping her book. But what has she done? Even, with the bazillion dollars she's got in the Clinton Foundation, before the hurricane relief effort, nothing.
She's funded Antifa.
Nothing. There you go. So I guess I got the thumbs up. Let's bring Coach Dave, Coach Dave Live. Come on board, sir. Is this thing on? Hello? Coach?
Coach, we can't hear you.
You're lying to me. Coach, are you underwater? Do you need help? Blink once if you're a hostage.
Wonder what's going on. Eric, do you see him?
No.
I thought you gave me the thumbs up. Was he on?
We had him, but he's gone. He escaped. Oh, we hear a...
I don't know what to tell you here, man.
There you go.
I'll take that out. Does that help? Anything?
Yes. Hagman viewing positions. Hold the... There we go. We can't see you, but we can hear you. Now we can't hear you or see you.
Live radio at its best, folks.
Yeah.
We'll get this figured out. And even if we have to bring Coach on by phone, I'm sure we can do that. Because what he has to say is really important, as he is mobilizing money and supplies to help the Houston flood relief efforts.
Well, Doug, this happened to me last time I was on. I don't know what the issue is. I'm watching you on my phone, and I got a little bit of a delay.
Yeah. There's a delay because I tend to say things really bad and then it's got to be edited out. So there's a delay.
But we can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Yeah, John, yeah. Have Todd bring him on the phone.
You know what? We're going to, Coach, we're going to do this via phone. We'll have Global Star, if that's all right, contact you and bring you on.
You know, it'd be really nice as if we had a little camera on Eric and a little camera on John, and while they're sitting at their little desks and at the spaceship over there, yeah. Just to see the inner workings of the behind the scenes at Hagman Report. And yeah, thank you, Todd from Global Star.
Global Star is like the best. Todd and Global Star, they're the best. BTR well, too.
And while we're here, just a quick programming note for Monday, Labor Day. We will be taking a well-deserved day off on the Hagman Report.
Well, some of us will.
No, we're going to do our individual daily show, I believe, but we're going to take the big show off.
Yeah, yeah.
No guests would come on. Everybody wanted the day off.
Yeah. What, Labor Day? What, are you kidding me? Actually, no, it's going to be... we do have, and this is very true, we do have some investigative work to do with respect to the groups that we got some coordination to do investigative wise.
Mm-hmm. I'm going
to
be investigating how burgers cook on charcoal versus gas.
There you go. But I'm serious about this because, that day there's going to be a meeting of the investigators that comprise the Northeast Intelligence Network, at least a Skype conference call. And then from there, we're going to be, talking about the, you know, what we can bring forth. That would not violate or jeopardize operational security of the investigators in the field. But just so you know, and this is a good point. This is a good time right now to tell you that your help, your financial contributions are helping us get investigators into the field and infiltrate these groups and to bring you reports. For example, today I gave some a brief overview of Philadelphia, what's taking place in Philadelphia, although that was publicized, made public on the Daily Caller about a week ago. Additional information is contained from the investigators working on these infiltrations. And the bottom line is the fact that what we're seeing are these Antifa-like, you're just gonna have to give me a thumbs up and I'll stop talking, but we're seeing these Antifa groups and groups like the, by any means necessary, Black Lives Matter and such. We're seeing them arming themselves, no more bottles and stones, or if that's, you know, whatever, they're going to weapons, and they're being taught how to use these weapons. I mentioned that on InfoWars. All right, we do have Coach Dave via Global Star Radio Network, and Coach Dave, thanks for your patience.
Well, I think it's on my end, Doug. In fact, the last time, two times ago when I was on with you guys, I had the exact same thing. The internet went down. My cell service went down. So I apologize, brother. Old football coach in me. I try to be on time. You know how that one goes. So well, I'll run a few laps and do some push-ups.
No need for that. You know, imagine that. Your internet goes and cell phone reception goes when you try to connect with us. Gee, we hear that all the time. Yeah, we do hear that. And of course, I'm sure it's just a coincidence. We're not being censored, so that's all right. All right, brother. Well, man, you got the floor.
But I appreciate it. Just appreciate the chance to get on and just explain to everybody a little bit what we've got going on. You know, a couple of years ago, I launched this Salt and Light Brigade, Doug, and it's been really, really a slow, painful process for us trying to get the thing up and moving. But we're at a point now where we're developing some regional, I don't want to call them offices, but regional outposts. We got one, a real good one down in Texas, which I'll talk about here in a second. We got one up in Wisconsin. Rob Pugh has got a facility up there. We're expanding down into the great Northeast. Kevin Bushy's doing a job up there for us. And so we're trying to get these little outposts. We're always looking for opportunities where we can get men in particular involved. This time it'll be men and women, because we find out that their faith really begins to grow when they get engaged. And, you know, at the recent Hear the Watchman conference, thanks to Mike Kerr, and you know, we ran into Lucinda Bailey and Ray Gaino, and we're all partnering now on this initiative, this outreach that we're doing down in Houston. And I don't need to take time and explain to everybody what's happened in Houston, because it's been absolutely unbelievably devastating. But we have passed Salt Ministries and Salt and Light Brigade. We have a history of doing this, Doug. In fact, it was 12 years ago tonight, Katrina hit. That was my first disaster that we went down and ministered in. A year ago, believe it or not, same time, we were in Springfield, Louisiana, where they had that huge, huge flood down there, and we we spent quite a bit of time down there helping the people, rebuilding, tearing out drywall, all of that kind of stuff. And now we're poised, Doug. We're doing some initial work. Chad Estes, who heads up our brigade down in Texas, has been doing some real good on the ground work. You know, it's still underwater. So when you begin to ask people what do they need down there, well, nobody even knows. It's still 15 feet underwater in some places. The water hasn't receded yet. And so I'm going to fly down next week, which is the 8th, and going to do some on the ground work. But we got Lucinda Bailey and Ray Gaino and Chad Estes and a pastor buddy of mine, Dale Socha. That's another Salt and Light Brigade guy out of New Orleans. And we're setting up outposts, Doug and Joe, that we think this is a great opportunity for the church to stand up and be the church. And I know we've all watched from afar that the beating that Joel Osteen has taken, whether it's deserved or whether it was not, you know, the fact that he didn't have that church open right away for people to come to shelter. And, you know, that's just a situation, in my opinion, of just poor planning. And that's something that, you know, we could talk about on another show. But how many churches in America have a disaster plan? If your small church, large church, if disaster hits in your community, whether it be a snowstorm or a tornado or a hurricane or EMP, do you guys have a plan? Any plan at all? And it looks to me like maybe they didn't have a plan down there in Texas. And Joe got Joel Osteen got a bad eye or black eye from that. And so I don't take a position on whether he's right or wrong. That's not what it's about. But we're gearing out, Doug. We're looking out to the 24th. We're clear out into the 22nd. I think it's a Friday. We're going to start putting our first boots on the ground. We already have 30 people from around America who lined up who are going to go with us. And we're working right now, as I said, with the help of Ray and Chad and Lucinda and Dale. We're setting up different outposts. We know that there's going to be plenty of help in Houston. Team is there, Red Cross is there, Salvation Army is there, but we find out in these disasters that you get out into the small towns, 5,000, 10,000, I mean, there's nobody helping those folks out there. So we're going to go down like we did in Louisiana last year, and we're going to feed them hot meals. We're raising funds. We're going to feed them hot meals. We're going to cut up trees. We're going to tear out drywall. But more than anything, Doug, Joe, we're going to bring them hope. It's been my experience as I've watched through several disasters. We've been to all the major hurricanes in the last 10 years. We've been to the tornadoes. People are in shock. And, you know, here we are. The rain's finally stopped down there. Those folks are going to head home. What they're going to head home to is going to be something that's going to be a punch in the gut like they've probably never had. And so our experience down in Louisiana a year ago shows us that when we get down on the ground and we begin to cook hot meals, we'll get a bunch of hamburgers and a bunch of hot dogs and a bunch of bratwurst and buns and food and set up a weigh station where we feed people. We feed the workers. We feed people who are homeless or eating just MREs, whatever. But that gives them hope. We think it's a great opportunity to be able to share the gospel. So I want to give you an unbelievable story that just happened. You guys hear me okay, Doug?
Yeah. 5x5, yep.
Okay, great. This is an amazing story. You know, we started raising money on Monday. First thing, we jumped into action. We thought that Kevin Bushy began to put a plan together what we were going to do and how far out we were going to work. And I immediately put up some feelers to try to raise some funds. And we are raising them at CoachDaveLive.com. CoachDaveLive.com. We love people to help us out. But here's the miracle of what we find out happens when we just step out and we let the Lord use it. Folks, let me pause just a second. FEMA is a government agency. The Red Cross is a quasi-government agency. The Salvation Army, God bless the Salvation Army, but they're almost handicapped to the point now that they can't really share the gospel because they're taking so much government money. They're really, really leery. We think this is a gospel moment, a gospel opportunity. We think that people out there are probably more open to hearing about Jesus than they've ever been in their life. So that's why what we do through the Salt and Light Brigade, we put men and women on the ground and we work with local churches, not the mega churches. We're going to find some church in a small town that's got 100 members and just a loyal pastor that's trying to do everything he can to keep his flock up and going and serve their needs. And we're going to come in and we're going to surround them and we're going to bring supplies to them and we're going to minister to them and we're going to feed out of that church. And as I said, we're setting them up in about four different locations. But I had the most amazing thing happen on Tuesday, yesterday, I think it was. Maybe it was Monday. My days all run together, probably for you guys, too. I got a call from my buddy Rusty Thomas and said, hey, you got to get a hold of Chris Keyes. He's down there in Houston. He can probably help you. So we just started our fundraiser, and somebody had just donated $1,000 online on our website. And I pick up the phone, I call Chris, and Chris answers, and he's in a boat. Now, let me back up a second, Doug. You know, Chris Keyes, this is a great guy. He's one of the 11 who was arrested in Louisville, Kentucky on Mother's Day weekend blocking the abortion clinic door. This is the type of character this guy is. He's always rescuing people, always rescuing them. And so I get a hold of Chris. I said, what's going on? He starts telling me, oh, Coach, the water is high. People are stranded. I came down there and brought my boat. I got five other guys that are coming down with their boats. And, man, there's a lot of work to be done. And, you know, Joe, Doug, I'm thinking 3 weeks out here, right? Wow, Chris, that must be amazing. He says, Coach, we're working as hard as we can. Run him out of money. He said, I don't have any money. He went into a problem he was having with his, his own business. His own business had been down. And said, I'm out here, Coach. I'm just flat broke. And I said, are you kidding me? I immediately got on the internet and I wired that $1,000 that was given to Pass the Salt for the relief. I wired it directly to the four guys who were getting ready to come down and join Chris with their boats. I wired the money to them. They brought the money down, handed it to Chris, and Chris has been keeping those boats running over the $1,000 that somebody anonymous online donated $1,000. And Chris called me last night at 4 in the morning. He said, Coach, I'm heading up there. I'm heading to Port Arthur. He said, if nobody's helping anybody down in Port Arthur, and says, I'm calling you for prayer because, to be honest with you, Coach, it's dark, it's pouring rain, and it's scary. I'm just telling you the truth. I'd appreciate your prayer, and we're going to go in there and try to rescue some people. And then he says this, and as he's getting ready to hang up, he says, okay, Coach, by the way, thanks for the money. We rescued 50 people last night. Man, Doug, that made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. And so that's what we're already involved down there with, you know, they call it the Bayou Brigade. They call it a lot of different things. We're helping those guys down there. But we're gearing out, Doug, to the 22nd, the first weekend of the 22nd, and we're looking for financial support. That would be people can donate online at CoachDaveLive.com. We're going to spend every dollar that we get. We don't have any overhead. We don't pay any employees. Yeah, we'll buy our guys a meal. We may give them some gas money, but everybody coming down there is a volunteer. And we're hitting the ground on the 22nd with 30 people. As of right now, 30. There probably will get more. And we're looking for more, Doug and Joe. And we're looking to stage in maybe three or four different small towns and churches. And we want to be able to financially walk into that pastor and say, what do you need? What does this community need? And then be able to financially provide it for them. So that's an overview of what's going on. And I know
that's boots on the ground. That's boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground, and it's an opportunity to make the church great again, brother. We've got to get people to quit depending on the government, standing around waiting on FEMA. Come on, man. That's not where it is. And this is a great opportunity. It's a horrible, horrible tragedy. But brother, what a chance to go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mike Kerr from Hear the Watchman, he just got a couple of cases of Bibles. We're going to hand out Bibles. We're going to be praying with people. We're going to be bringing hope to people who really don't have a whole lot of hope. Now, Doug, you know, somebody could give us $1 million. Here's the truth. Those people have lost $4 billion. $4 billion they've lost. And they say, well, Coach, why do you even waste your time going down there? You can't make a difference. You say, well, you know, you could give us $1 million. We probably couldn't make a difference, but we can sure go give a lot of people a lot of hope. Encourage them and maybe network people with churches, brother.
Yep. And you know, it's never a lost battle. Even that little bit. I love this story about the little boy and the old man, little boy seeing the starfish on the watch, you know, from the high tide, and they're gonna die. And so the little boy's walking along the beach and throwing the starfish one by one back into the water, and the old man coming up saying it's not gonna make a difference. And the boy looks at the old man and says, it made a difference to that one and this one. And he throws back. You know, so well, it does make a difference.
It makes a difference to those guys that who pulled those people off of their roof. It makes a difference to that person. I can guarantee you it makes a difference there. And I had a guy call me today. There's all kinds of great people out there. Listen, folks, we're trying to give you an opportunity to plug in. Yes, we need your financial support. CoachDaveLive.com. Yes, we do. But we need you. And we want to set up over the next however long, Doug, 6 weeks, a month, we want to set up relief efforts where we will rotate crews in and out down there to try to help those people get back on their feet. But Scripture tells us that hope deferred maketh a heart sick. So I'm going to fly down on next weekend, and Chad and I, and Dale and Regano and Lucinda, we're going to go find 4 or 5 churches, and we're going to find places where people can come down there. We're not going to spend money on hotels. We're going to find churches that they can sleep on in sleeping bags or whatever. We're going to feed them. We're going to rotate crews in and out and just try to share the love of Christ with these people who have dug. They have lost everything. Sitting right there in your studio, you and Joe, you look around, or Joe, you think about when you go home and you look around, just to think about if you got up tomorrow and it was all gone. A lot of them don't even know it yet, Doug, because they're not in their houses. They're in shelters and all that kind of stuff. And our experience is they're going to go home this weekend, and people are going to be there to help them, and then gradually life begins to get back to normal, but it doesn't get back to normal for those people. Their cars are ruined. The refrigerators are ruined. Everything's ruined. And about 2 weekends out, which will be the 22nd, that's when we're going to amp it up, and we're going to hit the ground, and we're going to deliver supplies directly from our truck to the people in need. Not to the government, and let the government distribute it. Not to the Red Cross. This is people to people. I look them in the eye, share the hope of Jesus Christ with them, and give them a reason to stand up and keep plowing away.
And, Coach, this is exactly what we need. And we talked about this on The Daily Show yesterday. It's setting a very bad precedent for people to rely solely on government, whether it's for food stamps or whatever it is, and the disasters are no different. If you're sitting around waiting for the government to come help you and then, you know, getting mad at the government and saying, oh, where's my, disaster assistance? It's all well and good to get some assistance from the government, but people need to understand you're setting a dangerous precedent relying solely on the government. And what you're doing, Coach, is enabling the people who are there as American citizens to help other American citizens to continue to be able to do that outside of the scope of FEMA. You can't wait for when a natural disaster happens. You need that sense of community. You need that sense of coming together and helping one another. To sit there and wait for the government does not need to take care of us from cradle to grave, even though some people really believe that that's what it's there for. And, you know, it is really the opposite. And it's great to see the people coming together, working together, putting aside any differences, getting supplies, money, whatever it is, to go down there and help these people. Because they're going to need all the help they can get. This is an unprecedented natural disaster. And just because the loss of life is relatively low compared to the scale of the disaster, it doesn't mean that half of the Houston city area, that these people's lives are going to have to start over in many cases. And now they're changing the laws about the insurance, and only 2 in 10 have insurance down there. It's going to be one of the most expensive natural disasters in history. And we need to show our support to our fellow Americans by helping them as much as possible.
Doug, the truth is, Joe, the truth is that their eyes are turning to the church. That's why I'm not bashing Joel Osteen. I'm sure that he feels sick about whatever happened there. But the eyes looked at the church, and they saw that the church is no more prepared than anybody else. We can't let it be like that, brother. We have to, when people get into tough times, they have to know that they can turn their eyes to the church. And I believe that they're listening to the sound of my voice. They're thousands and thousands of people who could give $50, and there are hundreds of people who could come and help. And we want to connect with them. We want them to go to our website, CoachDaveLive.com, and connect with us and say, put me in, Coach, plug us in. We would like to be able to help and make a donation if you can't do that. I had a guy call me today. Think of this. He says, Coach, I heard that you're down there. I think he's from Columbus or Cincinnati. I don't even know where he was. Left a message on my phone. He says, Coach, I heard that you guys are going down there, and I can't go. I'd love to go, but I can't. And Coach, if you're heading down there in the next couple of days, please swing by my house. I got a couple of jet skis that you can take with you. Now, can you imagine that? This guy doesn't even know me. But this is an opportunity with all the fighting and hatred and deplorables, everything that's going on in America. Man, oh man, what an opportunity for us to stand up and say, you know what? You guys are wrong about us. It's not Antifa that's coming here and feeding your belly. It's not Antifa that's coming here and pulling drywall off. It's not Antifa that's coming here and giving you diapers and baby food and feminine products. It's not Antifa. It's those others. It's those ones that they're telling you about. And it's an opportunity. As I always say, Trump can't make America great again. Only the church can make America great again. And this is a great opportunity. So our appeal is help us financially if you can, folks. Go to our website, CoachDaveLive.com, and you can donate there. And it's fully deductible. But some of you, we need you on boots on the ground. We'll organize. Or how about this? Maybe guys out there, your church men's group. Say, listen, get 10 guys in your church men's group, and we'll plug you in. We'll give you a place where you can go in a church where you can sleep and take showers, and then all day help the people. Because it's, Doug, I saw Katrina. I saw some of those hurricanes. I saw Joplin, Missouri. I saw that flood last year in Louisiana. They say this is like something we have never seen. And even though we can't make a difference, Doug, we're going to go pick up that little starfish, brother. And we'll throw him back in the water and say we made a difference to that one.
Amen. Amen. And folks, I can guarantee you the most effective person in the world to handle this, I think, is Coach Dave Dobmeier. And
I got a great team, Doug. Yeah. I got a great team. Kevin Bushy and Ray Gano and Lucinda. You know Lucinda from
I mean,
we got great people. Field social. We got great people. I got a great team. And great teams are good when you equip people to do what they do best. And that's what our Salt and Light Brigade is all about. We're excited about the direction it's gone. And we need a lot of folks to jump in and help us out in this initiative.
Yeah, you know what? We don't need to report how bad it is. Coach
it's
Dave,
bad.
It's bad. Yeah, Coach Dave is down there making a difference, and his team, Salt and Light Brigade. We're fully behind you, Coach, and thank you for what you do. Thank you.
It's an honor to be on with you guys, Doug, Joe. Thanks for everything you do. Love your morning show. And hey, Doug, I felt bad coming on. You were amping it up again there, buddy. Just before I did, like, that hair was starting to stand up on the back of your neck.
I know, man.
I know. I had to break in on it, you know?
No, I'm glad you did. It probably saved me from a number of things.
Folks, we'll be right back.
I feel you, brother. I feel you.
Thanks, Coach. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.